Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Brute force. If it doesn't work, you're just not using enough. You're listening to Soft Web Radio. Special Operations Military News and straight talk with the guys in the community.
All right, hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Soft Rep Radio. Today, excited to have Senator Martha McSally, a retired colonel, fighter pilot, and a senator from Arizona, first woman to fly in combat, first to command a fighter squadron. Incredibly impressive, and she has a new book out today called Dare to Fly, Simple Lessons in Never Giving Up, which excited to read the book, which I will. I'm going to have you back on the show, but please support her and go get the book. From what I can see, it's something that would be incredibly useful, especially in an environment like today where we're dealing with a lot of adversity. Thanks for being on the show, Martha, and excited to get, kind of dive in.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Brandon. Yeah, when I decided to publish it, I never would have imagined we'd be facing the challenges we are right now, but the lessons are certainly timeless about how to overcome your fear and persevere, get through adversity. I've had some unique experiences, but we all have common human experiences of how to deal with some of these really difficult things and break through those barriers and find your courage and find some good wingmen and thrive through the darkness. So there's a lot of good lessons in there that are applicable today.
Yeah, no, for sure. I would love to get into your kind of origin story, like where did you grow up? What made you decide to join the Air Force Academy? What made you get interested in aviation and kind of like bring us up to speed with where you're at today?
Yeah, so I do share a lot of this in my book, but it is important to what motivates us. So I grew up in Rhode Island, a youngest of five kids. My dad came from very humble circumstances. His dad passed away before he was born. His mom passed away when he was a teenager. He started working at age 8 and never stopped. But he's a great American story of through hard work and people believing in him and serving in the military and using his GI Bill, he was able to get a good education. And it really drove him for a passion to make a better life for his kids and also serve others. I benefited from all that. I didn't even know that growing up. I grew up in a middle-class family, very stable, really was told I could be anything I wanted to be. And when I was 12 years old, between sixth and seventh grade, my life was turned upside down when my dad very suddenly passed away. We were just hanging out together on the beach one day as a family, and he later went up to lie down, wasn't feeling well, went upstairs while we were, you know, outside playing like kids used to do, and came inside afterwards and found out that my brother had drove him and my mom to the hospital. They came back that night, and my mom said my dad had suffered a heart attack. I didn't even know what that was, but he was stable, and we were going to need to help in his recovery. And I remember not going to bed with any fear, thinking, okay, we get to take care of dad. And my dad knew in his spirit, even though he was stable, that in his spirit, he knew he was going to die. So in the middle of the night, in a torrential rainstorm, he said, get my children now. I need to talk to my children. And so we were rushed to the hospital to spend time with him. I didn't really understand it, but I get to visit with him, talk about the mundane things in life, like many of your listeners talked about to their loved ones today, but also school and sports and siblings and other things, the dog. But also in that conversation, he told me to make him proud. The next day he had another heart attack and left us. And he propelled me on this path through grief, through questioning, through trying to find my own way. And my mom then going back to school and back to work with five kids as a single mom. And I was just looking for an opportunity to get a good education, not saddle my mom with debt. I had no idea what I wanted to do. I mean, I was a motion sick, shy kid, very sheltered. And I ended up kind of stumbling into going to the Air Force Academy. And I got in, I decided to give it a chance so that, you know, you pay back in service instead of student loans. And I thought it would also channel my energy into something positive. I was feisty, a little rebellious. I thought I could go either way. And I just wanted to be channeled into a positive challenge. And so off I went. I wanted to be a doctor. But when I got there, I found out that just because I was a girl, I couldn't be a fighter pilot, and it just made me mad. And so I decided that's exactly what I wanted to do. I channeled my rebelliousness into like a dream instead, right?
Yeah, no, it's great. I mean, I had a similar story, but I got kicked out of the house when I was 16. We were on a family sailing trip, so it was like kicked out of the boat in Tahiti. Sailed back at 16, living on the boat. I grew up working on a scuba boat. The owner let me kind of finish my senior year, and I didn't know what the hell to do. So I joined the Navy for college for the GI Bill. So, yeah. And I think you'll agree with me. Like, if you don't know what your purpose is, the military will help you figure it out really quick.
Yes, absolutely. There's so many young men and women. It just gives them the purpose, the direction, the discipline. Exactly. It's a great place to go find what you're made of and give you direction.
So my oldest son, Hunter, was born when I was in Afghanistan with SEAL Team 3 right after 9/11. And he's just graduating as a senior this year. And I tried to talk him into going into the Air Force Academy. He's like, Dad, I don't know if people tell me what to do. I'm like, all right. But he's going to go study computer science in probably Scotland next year.
Wow.
St. Andrews.
It's so interesting how we all like make these decisions as teenagers, you know, and they start pushing the path of your life. But I mean, you're teenagers. So like, you know, if you made a different decision on Tuesday versus Wednesday, you may have ended up in a very different path.
Yeah. My biggest thing to him was just follow your heart, whatever you're passionate about.
Yeah.
And take risks.
Good lessons.
What is your most challenging kind of situation you've dealt with post-military? I mean, I read the New York Times piece, so I get a pretty good sense of your career. And I love the story of you wearing the men's garrison cap to the change of command. Because I'm like, I don't know why I grew up in my parents were hippies, right? So I grew up in a pretty liberal household, but I'm like, why can't we all just be the same? Like, why the hell do we need to have like different hats? And but as I read that piece, I was cracking myself up.
So that was actually a hilarious example, by the way, of the media. One of my first early experiences of the media, you know, with their own agenda, taking things out of context. When I became a fighter pilot, that was the hat that fighter pilots wore, and they put a crush in the back of their hat. And the regulations did not say that women couldn't wear that hat. And I literally had like commanders saying, you better wear that hat, the other hat, the male hat, right? The male hat looks like a, well, I mean, I don't know how to describe it, but anyway, it's just different. And you can't put the crush in the back. And so I was doing what my leaders told me to do. And and many of the women pilots have been wearing that hat all along. And little did I know that some uniform board had met and somebody teed up a recommendation to get rid of the women's hat. I didn't know anything about this. And so there I was taking the guide on, wearing the same hat that I've been wearing for years with women in formation out there in my squadron, wearing the same hat as me. And right after I took over command the next morning, I go out in my backyard and my next door neighbor says, you're on the front page of the paper. And I said, for what? And they said, some hat controversy. I mean, it wasn't the next morning, but I was like, what are you talking about? You're taking on this challenging the hat thing. I'm like, I have no idea. It was literally made up. Like the controversy was made up. My first experience of the media just making things up for their own agenda.
So true. And great context. Because I read it and I was totally looking at it from a different angle. So what about your transition, right? I know it's tough, at least for me, when I got out, you're in such like a regimented schedule, you can trust people, and then you're out in the wild, and it's kind of a totally different environment. But what's one of your biggest challenges kind of post-military?
Well, I retired, I was serving overseas at the time, and I got selected to be a professor at a place called the Marshall Center. And so I stayed overseas, and I was teaching national security studies. So I was still around the security culture, you know, U.S. national security culture. But I just felt this conviction and call to duty as I was seeing what was going on in our politics in Washington, D.C., that I maybe needed to step up and do more. And I tried to lie down to that feeling went away after, you know, serving all those years. I had served as a legislative fellow. So I'd worked for Senator John Kyle instead of going off to Air Command and Staff College. So it was just part of my national security education that I was given in the Air Force, but I didn't walk away from that. That was back in the 90s. I didn't walk away like, oh, I want to run for office someday. Some people love the politics. I can't stand the politics, but I love to make it different. You know, I love to fix things that are broken. I love to make things that are wrong right. I love to give people a voice who don't have a voice. I mean, that's the passion and purpose of my life. And so as I was feeling this call to duty to maybe step up and run for office, I really had to think through, is this the best way to serve at this moment in time? And I stepped into the ring to run, and I had no political experience at all. And eventually, I mean, I thought I had won in 2012 when I first ran. I went to freshman orientation, voted for the speaker, but they counted ballots for 14 more days. I ended up losing by 0.84%. And then I ran again in 2014. And I won by a whopping 167 votes after a 43-day recount. And so my new call sign is landslide. So, you know, since I've been in the House and now in the Senate, I think, you know, I look at it like as a continuation of my service. It's the same oath of office that I took as an officer. But as you mentioned, like, it's so frustrating when you don't know who you can trust. And you're looking for people who have a similar mindset of the core values that we had in the military: service before self, integrity first, excellence in all we do, are the Air Force core values. All the services have them. They're about service and duty and honor and country and sacrifice. And, you know, it's not what Washington, D.C. thrives on, unfortunately. So trying to be effective in the midst of the insanity and the show horsing and the politicizing of everything in D.C. and the media, it's been extremely difficult, but I just stay, you know, focused on what can I do today to make a difference? Same like I do in everything in my life. What can I do today in this environment to make a difference? And I think one of the biggest eye openers, though, was how the media treated me. For the longest time, when I was breaking barriers to become a fighter pilot and taking on the Pentagon for making our women wear burqas. Like the media, the mainstream media loved my story until I became a Republican candidate for Congress. All of a sudden, not so much.
Yeah. God, I could tell you stories. I mean, I run and own a media company today that we had a group in New York bring us in to talk about acquiring us. And I'll just go ahead and say it. It was Group 9 Media. Had two meetings, and then one of the corp development guys pulled me aside on the second meeting. He's like, yeah, you know, we just got word from top down. We just don't think this is a cultural fit for us. And I was like, what the hell are you talking about? And he's like, well, you know, you're military guys and the founders put AOC in office and they just really don't see a fit here. And I was like, you don't even like, we haven't even had a talk about politics. Like, but they just judge you. And it's like, there is for sure this liberal media bias that exists. And I used to have a lot of respect for the New York Times, and you can have your opinions about Trump, but the bias is just out of hand.
It's so bad. I'm now in the middle of it. I mean, I saw it from, you know, just as a citizen, but I'm now in the middle of it every single day. And it's just, it's so bad. It's unfortunate because people in the country deserve to have a professional, objective media, getting them the facts and letting them decide their own views and their own opinions. And the mainstream media are just beside themselves. Like they just, it's so bad and it's so blatant. And it's just unfortunate because the country deserves better.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. I had another question for you. If you had a magic wand, what would you change to kind of remake America for the better? Given that it seems like to me, you know, we've lost our path with foreign policy. It's like the schizophrenic foreign policy. We're behind in so many sectors. Like I'm at this course at Harvard Business School now for business owners, and listening to my classmates, like we're so far behind on fintech and telemedicine and education, healthcare. So if you had that magic wand, like what would you change? Because it seems like we need to get our act together.
Well, we don't have a magic wand, so, but I do think that this, yeah. This crisis we're going through right now, as awful and as unprecedented and as dire it has been towards lives and livelihoods, I think there is an opportunity for us to wake up on some things. And specifically, I mean, my focus is on China. You know, China has been in plain sight. You know, for those of us who serve, we've been seeing the rise of China for the last decades. In plain sight, they have been on a path to replace us as the world leader. And they've been taking advantage of our free society, our economic setup, you know, investing in and allowing outsourcing of our critical national security and healthcare needs to China. They're cheating either legally by the way that they make people do business in China by scooping up their technology or just cyber attacking, stealing our technology. But they're also like investing in our infrastructure in America. And there's cities who are allowing it for, you know, for them to be bidding with Chinese owned companies for public transportation in major cities, which is a national security risk. And what they're doing at our research institutions and universities. So I think the coronavirus has been a wake up call that China has been on the rise, that we have been a bit asleep at the switch, our European allies even more so. And if we now work together, we can bring that manufacturing home. We can continue to be the leader in technology. Let's not outsource it. We've got the best. We have the best minds here in America. We've got to make sure that we ensure our future for national security, for health security, for other things. And we've got to stop allowing China to cheat. I think this is the biggest challenge of these next years. The window is closing. And it's the biggest challenge of these next years going forward. And there's things we can do about it with our foreign policy, with our economic policy. And because of the virus, especially, I think Americans are going to demand that the outsourcing of our PPE and our medicines and everything, and that it comes home to America. And it's important that we do that. There's so many other things that we need to do, but that's the one I'm focused on right now.
Yeah, I think people were shocked to find that most of the prescription medicine was being manufactured in China or in the U.S. I mean, talk about a supply chain risk.
Right. And critical minerals that are needed for our defense systems, they're all rare earth minerals. They're all in China. They're all being manufactured, processed in China, mined in China.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I was watching just the Huawei issue, which I agree with Trump on how he's handling it, but the kind of China bullying Germany and the EU, they're buying a lot of automobiles. So you better let Huawei continue to operate. But
if you didn't believe what we were saying related to the coronavirus and related to technology and these other things, look at what they're doing in Hong Kong. Yeah. I mean, they had an agreement in 1984 that starting in 1997 for the next 50 years, that Hong Kong would have its freedoms and way of life and autonomy. And now they're basically, with a vote that they may do this week, they're basically reneging on that, starting the path to take over Hong Kong. Like, wake up. We need to wake up. China is not our friend. They're our adversary, and they want to replace us. We're stronger and better, but we need our European allies to wake up, and we need to be using all elements of national power in order to stop them.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Yeah, I was having a conversation with one of my HBS classmates who's a billionaire from China. And we were talking about just how they handled the coronavirus. And she's like, oh, yeah, it's well known that China kind of said, we need to let this out in the world or else, we're going to be the only ones with the economic disaster on our hands. And just the fact that they thought, oh, we're just going to unleash this. Mm-hmm. To the rest of the world for our own self-interest. It's just so fucked up.
We still don't know who patient zero was, right? We still don't know exactly where it came from. We do know by a study done in the UK that had they acted 3 weeks earlier, 95% of the cases could have been stopped. We do know that they restricted travel internally, but they did not restrict travel internationally. And they continue on a cover-up. They blame the US Army. They lied to their own people. They were welding people into their own homes and left to die. I mean, their totalitarian regime is ruthless, and they're on a continued propaganda campaign to the world and to their own people to cover it up. This is their Chernobyl moment. There's going to be, a miniseries about this sometime in the future. But this is also our Sputnik moment, where we can wake up, unite, put all of our energy together and make sure that we stop the path that they are on.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's never been a better time to wake up to that, because it just seemed like nobody was paying attention. Even one of my friends, Jeff, is the former CMO of VaynerMedia, and we were having this conversation just about TikTok, which is this kind of state-owned social media platform. Like, I don't see this lasting too much longer in America, because they're just collecting intel on all of us. Like, what? How come nobody's saying anything? All these American influencers are promoting TikTok everywhere.
And it's just, you know what? I've been lately on I'm going to introduce legislation that allows people to know when they shop online whether something is made in China or made in America. If you go to the store, you can look on a label of the clothing, or if you're going to buy dog biscuits. But when I'm shopping on Amazon, I can't tell. And I've had some conversations as I'm trying to order some things on Amazon saying, excuse me, where is your company? Where are things made? And as soon as they come back in China, I say something like, your communist government is responsible for many American deaths, and I'm not buying this, you know, and but I want to know, is something made in China, is something made in America? We deserve to have that information so we can make good choices.
Agreed. On to some lighter subject. What are you still flying today? Are you active or not so much?
Well, I have my paragliding license, so I do paraglide from time to time. It's pretty amazing getting out in the mountains and flying nearly like a bird. I do have my private license as well. And from time to time, when I'm going out to the rural areas in Arizona, I will fly in a little plane. I always have a safety pilot with me because I'm, you know, too sleep deprived and distracted trying to solve the problems of the country to be doing good risk management and planning. But it's great to get airborne anytime I can.
Yeah, I would love to try the paragliding. I ended up falling in with a group of guys that were former Air Force, Marine Corps, Navy pilots, and they have this kind of underground fight club in San Diego. We meet up twice a year to do ACM in Yaks. Most of the planes are the Yak 50s. Yeah, these guys just trained me up. And because I actually, my childhood dream was to be a pilot. I just didn't have a weird, being homeschooled on and off. I just didn't have the grades to go into any of the academies. But yeah, I got my form card with those guys. Now, like, fighting two fighters and four bandits in a fighter block. And it's just like extremely fun and a great, great group of guys.
Oh, that's great. That's really cool. Well, you know, I tell some stories in my book about flying the A-10. First takeoff is solo. There's no two-seat models. There's no simulators. Yeah. Never flown the airplane before. And then some combat sorties in a canyon in Afghanistan in particular. It's an amazing plane. I mean, I miss the, you know, flying a little civilian plane is not quite the same as doing close air support. And then talking to an American on the ground under fire and figuring out where the good guys and where the bad guys are, and then delivering firepower so they can get home to their family safely and live to fight another day.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. I'm sure there's some great stories in the book. I actually, when I was in Afghanistan, we were there around October 2001 to February 2002. One of the first nine lines I got to call in was actually a woman pilot. And I think she was an Air Force pilot. And then I come back home and I'm at my brother-in-law's wedding, and I'm like telling this story, and they're like, oh, do you know, like, she's a pilot over there in the Air Force, and it was her. Like, it was crazy. Yeah, because we had the combat controllers attached to our SEAL platoon, and those guys were just excellent on the radio, but they got so bored calling all this fire, like, oh, that they just started letting us do the fire missions ourselves. So yeah, it's crazy. But to the A-10, I love that plane. I was doing CAS training out of near Vegas, and that's what an amazing machine.
It's incredible. I had the choice of the F-15, the F-15E, F-16, F-111, or A-10, and I picked the A-10. It's the folklore is that they built the 30-millimeter gun, which is like the size of a passenger car, and as far as length goes. And then they went to the engineers and said, figure out how to fly this gun. I don't know if that's true, but it sounds cool. It's ugly. It's survivable. We can take direct hits. We can lose all our hydraulics, our electrics, flight controls. damage to the wings and still lose one engine and still fly back to friendly territory safely. It was really built to be down and dirty. We got the titanium bathtub around us in the cockpit to protect us from small arms fire. It's just extraordinary. There's nothing like it. You know, I picked it. We're like the not the fast moving culture of our Air Force at the time. It was not the top pick of most people, but I chose it because I just thought it was an awesome mission.
Yeah, great mission, great plane. And so even the trainer is not a two-seat, just a single seat.
Yeah, there were no two-seat trainer. They built a couple two-seaters in the initial making of the A-10. I think one of them crashed. There's one in a museum somewhere, but they never operationalized it. So there were no simulators at the time that I went through training. There's simulators now. So your first flight solo, and you've got your instructor pilot in the plane next to you, but you've never flown the plane before. You've been through, I mean, you have your pilot wing, so you're an aviator, but you've never flown that plane. And you've had 3 weeks of very intense training on all the procedures, all the systems, all the emergencies. But I remember like it was yesterday when they cleared me for takeoff that first time. And I just thought I was going to throw up. And I was like, this is crazy. I've never flown this plane before. And so I talk about it in my book, like just as a practical example of how you learn to do things afraid. You can either let fear overpower you. And I could have just taxied back in and I would have just taken a different path in life. But instead, I pushed up the power and I took off afraid. I reached back to other experiences in my life growing up where I was able to push through fear. And I talk about that, like as an athlete, you almost build muscle memory, you know, to build your courage. But it didn't mean it was the absence of fear. It meant that I actually chose to move forward in the midst of my fear. And then you realize that the fear doesn't have power over you. And of course, once I got airborne, I had a sigh of relief. I looked over at my wingman and I could see, or my instructor pilot, and I'm like, hey man, I'm an A-10 pilot. You know, it was about a 10-year dream in the making. And then I remember being terrified of the thought, like, I got to figure out how to land this thing. You know, like, I get about 2 hours of gas.
Yeah. No, I think what you say about fear is incredibly powerful, right? When you tend to make that a habit in life, it's just very few things can hold you back. I transitioned from a Yak 52, which is a Russian trainer, to a Yak 50, which is a single seat plane. The Russians designed it to compete on the world aerobatic stage, and same thing, single seat. I was sitting in the 400 horsepower tail dragger radial engine. I'm sitting in there like doing all the emergency procedures, visualize everything. And they, one of the Air Force kind of pilot mentor guys walked over, Bones, he was an old F4 guy. He's like, you gonna fly that damn thing or what? So that was like my nudge. Very different platform, but I had that same feeling, like, shit, I've never flown this plane before. Like, and it's an amazing plane to fly. And the thing, I was like, okay, now I got to land it, right?
So, right. You know, we realize as pilots, like, well, if you push up the power and you let off the brakes, eventually the airplane is going to get airborne when it picks up enough speed, right? The hard part.
Everyone listening, please go get Dare to Fly. Marcus, new book.
daretofly.us, so people can get it there, but they also can share their own stories because I need to be inspired every day too, so they can contact me. It won't be public to anybody else. I'd love to hear any inspiring stories that can encourage me and others during this time. So
awesome. I would love to have you back on. I know you got a busy schedule with day job as a senator and then publishing a book, but love to have you back. Love to support your re-election bid. Anything we can do to help, please let us know.
Thanks, Brandon. Hey, everybody be safe out there and go to daretofly.us. I've had some unique stories and experiences, but we can all relate to fear and resilience and perseverance and overcoming barriers. And so hopefully it can inspire you in your own walk and your own journey today.
All right. Well, hope you guys enjoyed that interview. Pretty fascinating just to learn a little bit about Martha's story. You know, her PR folks reached out to us and I did a lot of digging into the background, and, you know, she dealt with so much adversity. You know, I didn't want to get into it on the interview because she kind of already talked about this and it had been reported on, but Martha was actually a victim of rape in the Air Force and chose not to press charges and came out about about it much later and spoke about it openly as a politician, but pretty fascinating just how she really, being the first, is never easy. Just a lot of respect for her and kind of pushing the boundaries. You know, I'm sure if you read it in her book, she was actually 5'3", which was at the time not high enough to be a pilot in the Air Force, and ended up pushing to get a waiver, pushing to become the first combat pilot, just overcoming like adversity after adversity. So then, like she said, talk about her father, literally on her father's deathbed, you know, just make me proud, pretty powerful stuff, which shows you how powerful words can be in general. But amazing career in the Air Force. You know, she went on to retire as a colonel and was the first woman to command a fighter squadron. And now doing something that, you know, a few people asked me if I was interested in running for politics. And I just not something I wanted to do, because I had enough friends in politics to understand that, you know, in today's world, as a politician, everything is fair game. I just didn't want to subject myself and my family to this kind of scrutiny and nastiness that it takes to be a modern politician. But a lot of respect for Senator McSally and what she's doing just to continue to serve. I mean, she's essentially devoted her life to making this country a better place to live. So lots of respect for her. We'll definitely have her back on. I can't wait to call Scott Kelly and send him a text and give him a hard time. I did remember reading it. Those of you who don't remember Scott, longest American in space. We had him on the show a while back. Was an astronaut. Admitted to me, actually, that he was afraid to apply for the astronaut program because he didn't think it was good enough. So it just shows that, you know, you got to push through those fears sometime. And a lot of time, it's much worse in your head than reality makes it. But I can't wait to give Scott a hard time, because his twin brother is also an astronaut. Yeah, a family of underachievers, but running against Martha in Arizona as a Democrat. So it'll be fun to give him a good ribbing over that. But yeah, hope you enjoyed that interview. I know I did. We got some great guests lined up, upcoming guests we have on the show. Dr. Bob, he was a SEAL and went into the Army and became a MD, who just has a new book out himself. We're going to have Bob on the show here in the next couple of weeks. Has some more exciting guests lined up for you. And we are now officially on the iHeart Radio Podcast Network. We have really good partnership with iHeart. Grateful to be a part of the iHeart family. And it also gives us access to more interesting guests, bigger audience reach as well. So excited to be a part of iHeart's family. You know, we just kind of an update on the site. We continue to put out some really great content on the main site, softrip.com, videos as well. We have some more team videos planned to shoot later this year. Just trying to kind of wade through this new world of COVID TV production. I finished my first novel that's being looked at for film right now. Pretty excited about that. That book is called Steel Fear. It's actually about a serial killer on a Navy aircraft carrier based on true events, a sexual predator on the USS Abraham Lincoln, who was never caught when I was deployed on the Lincoln with HS6 helicopter squadron before I went to SEAL training. So excited about that book to film. And we've got some cool soft rep production in the works. We're pitching to Netflix and a few other networks, TV series. So excited about that. Lots of cool stuff coming down the line. We also are investing heavily in the Loadout Room, our survival store, really remaking it with American-made products. We first started the store. There's a place you can go to sign up products, and we ended up having a ton of products in there from China, but it was just a terrible experience. But just kind of the guy who runs e-commerce for us, ex-Army guy, Jacob, him and I just decided, look, we're going to focus on kind of American brands, American manufacturing. So excited to kind of lean into the Loadout Room, which is the soft rep online survival store, and then really invest to make that store as unique as possible. And our kind of vision there is there's so many choices on the internet right now, on Amazon, everywhere else. You know, what boots do you buy? What knife do you buy? What medical kit? So our job is really to kind of pick the best products, best brand, and make things easier for the buyer. But anyway, that's kind of the latest from us. If you haven't signed up for a Sock Rep subscription, please consider doing that. It does go to support an all-veteran writing team. Those of you guys who are familiar with the site know that we've come a long way in 8 years, but it hasn't always been easy. And we definitely don't shy away from controversy and telling it like it is, regardless of popularity or not. Anyway, appreciate you guys tuning in this week. Look forward to catching you with Bob soon. And that's all I have out here.
You've been listening to Sock Rep Radio. New episodes up every Wednesday and Friday. Follow the show on Instagram and Twitter at Sock Rep Radio.
To hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Hello there. I'm Ann Thompson, editor-at-large for IndieWire.
And I'm IndieWire's deputy film editor, Ryan Latanzio.
And we're the co-hosts of IndieWire's weekly Screen Talk podcast.
Join us each week for an in-depth discussion of the latest in film and TV industry news with special guests along the way, including filmmakers and executives.
Hear from us every Friday morning on iHeart platforms or wherever you get your podcasts as IndieWire shares what we've learned from the movie week that was.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.